The book of Judges reveals a history that involves one disappointment after another. The era of the judges saw repeated episodes of apostasy, and each time, God judged the people to motivate them to return to Him. But God raised up a series of faithful judges. Deborah, Barak, and the others who followed them are a bright light in a very dark world. Stephen Davey called this lesson, Hooray for the Housewives.
A popular author that went under the pen name Mark Twain gave a rather humorous piece of advice to parents when he wrote back in the 1800s. He suggested that when children turn 13, you put them in a barrel and feed them through a hole. Then when they turn 16, you plug up the hole. Well, I'm not personally recommending that, by the way. But at this point in the book of Judges and our wisdom journey, you might expect God to go looking for a barrel to put the children of Israel in and maybe even go ahead and plug up the hole. Here now in Judges chapter 4 and verse 1, the Israelites are rebelling again. And this time the Lord allows a man named Jabin, the king of Hazor, to defeat them and to trouble them for 20 years. He has an army equipped, we're told, of 900 iron chariots under the command of his general, Sisera. Now, humanly speaking, Israel is powerless. But remember, Israel's problem is never military weakness. It is spiritual waywardness. So, when Israel eventually cries out in repentance to the Lord, God responds. Only this time, he doesn't raise up a warrior judge. He chooses a woman. A woman in Israel by the name Deborah. Now, we don't know a lot about Deborah. We're told here in verse 4 that she's a prophetess as well as a wife. She's what we would call today a housewife. By the way, that's not a demeaning term at all. I think it's the hardest job on the planet. And on top of that, she's serving as a judge in Israel. She's sitting out there under a palm tree, verse 5 tells us, and she's rendering verdicts as the people of Israel bring cases to her. Well, God leads her to recruit a general named Barak to lead Israel into battle against General Sisera and all those iron chariots. Even though Deborah gives Barak God's guarantee of victory, his response is a little embarrassing. He says to Deborah here in verse 8, "If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." He sounds more like a weakling than a warrior, and Deborah thinks so too. I kind of see her patting him on the head as she responds here in verse 9, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will give Sisera into the hand of a woman." Now, even though Barak lacks courage, the people of Israel step up with courage and faith. And in fact, let me take you through this chapter and give you some qualities that we're going to see in the people of Israel that are definitely worth imitating today as followers of God. First of all, they volunteer here without any hesitation. Verse 10 says, "And Barak called out Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and 10,000 men went up at his heels, and Deborah went up with him." So 10,000 men immediately volunteered. Deborah's song here in chapter 5 reveals that men from the tribes of Ephraim and Benjamin also signed up. Verse 15 tells us that men from the tribe of Issachar also rushed at his heels. That means they couldn't wait to join up with the army. There isn't, by the way, any ad in this campaign telling them how wonderful life will be in the army. It was really more like, if you want to risk your life against iron chariots, well, God will help you. Now sign up. Now, there are some tribes, by the way, rather unfortunately, who refuse to get involved. And after the battle, Deborah asks the tribe of Reuben here in chapter 5 and verse 16, why did you sit still among the sheepfolds? In other words, why did you just sit there and do nothing? In verse 17, she says, Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. And that means the tribes of Gad and Manasseh, they didn't keep their promise to cross over the Jordan and help the other tribes when they went into battle. Deborah also says here, and why did, that is Dan, why did you, Dan, stay with the ships? Asher sat still at the coast of the sea. This is kind of a roll call of shame. And by the way, in days to come, the tribe of Asher will have no significant impact on the history of Israel. The tribe of Dan will nosedive into apostasy. And the tribes of Gad and Manasseh will eventually be overrun. Listen, beloved, when you refuse to serve others and follow God, you're going to shrivel up spiritually. You might not be put in a barrel and fed through a hole, but you're going to be living in a closed-up little world all by yourself where everything revolves around you. And you don't want to live like that. You want to live like these Israelites who volunteered without any hesitation. Let me give you a second observation. They trusted God without any explanation. You see, the Israelites here who signed up didn't have all the answers. They just signed up and followed God. And here's what happens next, back in Judges chapter 4 and verse 15. The Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army before Barak by the edge of the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled away on foot. So it's clear the Lord did this. And we're given a clue how he did it in Deborah's song of victory over in chapter 5 and verse 21. The torrent Kishon swept the enemy army away. So God evidently used a flood to mire down the wheels of those fancy iron chariots there in the mud. And then they were swept away in the rushing flood. Oh, by the way, their God Baal, well, he's supposed to be in control of storms. Well, General Sisera jumps out of his chariot and he runs for his life. He stumbles into the tent of another housewife. Her name is Jael. Here in verse 18 of chapter 4, she pretends to welcome him. She even feeds him. She gives him a big glass of milk to drink. And with that, he falls asleep. And while he's sleeping, she takes his life. You know what's happening here? God is using two housewives and an army of eager volunteers to bring about a great victory. They volunteered without any hesitation. They trusted God without any explanation. Let me give you a third observation. They gave God the credit without any reservation. Deborah's song of victory over here in chapter 5 begins and it ends with the glory and power of God. Now, you might wonder why God put these volunteers through all this trouble. Why did they have to rush down a mountainside into the face of iron chariots only to have God rescue them at the last moment with this flood? Beloved, the reason is the same for you and me today. God doesn't erase challenges. You see, God's not just interested in delivering you. He's interested in developing you. And we're called to strap on the armor of God every single day and stand for Christ. By the way, that means you're going to get knocked down from time to time. But you need to get back up, get back in the battle. And you walk with Christ with even greater humility and greater trust. A zookeeper named Gary Richman wrote a book about his experiences that offered spiritual analogies. I enjoyed reading it so much. On one occasion, he had the privilege of watching a giraffe give birth there at the zoo. Now, mother giraffes deliver their offspring while standing up. And as Gary watched, that baby dropped all the way to the ground and it kind of lay there for a while. And all of a sudden, the mother kicked it. And with that, the newborn giraffe struggled to stand up on its wobbly legs. And no sooner had it gained some balance, the mother kicked it again, sending it sprawling to the ground. And Gary asked, why in the world did she do that? Well, the nearby veteran zookeeper explained that in the wild, a newborn giraffe is easy prey to wild animals. and the mother knows her baby needs to immediately join the herd, it needs to remember how to stand back up. And beloved, that's my prayer for you as well, as God continues to develop you rather than immediately deliver you from the challenges of life. Well, until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey and a lesson he called Hooray for the Housewives. He's currently working through the book of Judges as he travels through the entire Bible on this wisdom journey. We have a free resource this month, especially for moms. Even though Mother's Day is past, you'll appreciate Stephen's free book designed to encourage mothers. It's at wisdomonline.org. And there's a link on the homepage to this free resource. Join us again next time.